Good afternoon. Good afternoon. My name is Katrina Turnbow, and I am your host for the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council Design Series. Welcome, 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 welcome. We are honored to have you today. This is our second show, and today we're going to be actually having a really, really awesome conversation with our special guest, Oh my goodness. This is the reason why podcasts and all of these things are awesome, because for whatever reason today, Stephanie is a hard word for me to say.
Hi.
Welcome, Stephanie. Thank you for joining us. And it's going to be cool because, you know, the Design Series podcast is all about talking about small business and what does that mean behind the scenes, and not just the typical things that we generally hear about. Of course, you want to know about the finances. Of course, you want to know who's in charge. Of course, you want to know all of those cool things. But when it's all said and done, you know, what are the elements of small business that continues to give it life? Who are the people that give it truly life, and who do you really work with? And then on top of that, you know, who are you as a person in this world of digital marketing and media, which we are definitely experiencing right now as we are on a podcast? We want to know a little bit, you know, about the behind the scenes. I think it goes as far back as the lives of the rich and famous. Were you old enough to, do you remember that?
No.
I would like to say on the podcast now in this moment, her facial expression for the host who have never seen the lifestyles of the rich and famous is true to her being a millennial and have no idea what I'm talking about. And this is why it's important. So it's basically like the real version of Housewives and all of those reality TV shows. But back in the day, it was like real reality, though.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. That concept was not new. So we're going to start
there.
They
remade it?
Yes, they remade it and added on some elements that we were not sure that they should be exposed. But, you know, hey, you know, that's how life goes. Invention and people push the limits and the boundaries. So, but a couple of things today we're going to talk about that we're always excited about. It's just the great things that are happening within MMSDC. And that number one is we are already in the middle of the month. I cannot believe we're in the middle of February. And we are ramping up very, very strongly right now. And I will actually like to say ahead of the curve for our events coming up later on this year. Our first being MMPC, which is May 8th through 10th. It is actually one of the things we'll talk about today, specifically with Stephanie, because she's been involved probably her entire life.
Yes. Yes.
And MMPC is the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council's just fantastic job fair, or excuse me, not job fair, but career expo, and, you know, really bringing vendors and suppliers together to create the conversations of business. This is where business owners and corporations all meet up to really have the conversation and say, hey, what services do you provide? What products do you provide? How can we work together? You know, this is where invention and, you know, just all of those synergies actually happen that, you know, oftentimes you don't know how they all came about, but oftentimes they're happening in these conferences. So, number one, if you want to learn more about Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council, just go ahead and go to
www.minoritysupplier.org.
So as I was typing in something a little bit different, it's funny how you still have the .com and it will throw everything off. But www.minoritysupplier.org. Fantastic website where you can pretty much find out anything you need to know about minority supplier businesses, being able to get certified, which is another part of this great conversation today. And also some of our affiliate partners that you may be already associated with, and the MBDA Business Center that has a tremendous amount of resources that is sponsored by the government, grants, and so many other things. And right now you can register for MMPC 2018 as we are charting the course, infusing power in people. And that's what this conversation is about today with Stephanie. Oh, I said it right.
Yay!
So as I open up, just giving you a little bit of background, a couple of things as we are live, feel free to call in today at 248-809-6400 or 248-809-6246, Motor City Woman Radio on Google Play or iTunes. In addition to that, we are listening live, or you're able to listen live on your computer if you go ahead and log in. So we are going to start our conversation. So number one, welcome, Stephanie.
Hi, Katrina.
Glad you're here. I'm so glad you can make it today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes. And the reason that this is really important is, as I had mentioned before, we're going to talk about the millennial conversation, but the other conversation we want to know is just a little bit about you. So let's start, because you are not new to business and business being a part of your life. So kind of tell us your experience growing up with a father who, you know, was he starting the business at the time? So what's the Burnley story?
So the Burnley story, my dad is actually a plumber apprentice. He did not go to college. He went to a trade school. No.
Was your dad in the military?
No. Well, if he tells the story, yes.
Mr. Burnley, were you really in the military?
He was like, I think he was in the Navy or Army for like a day. Mm-hmm. And he had an asthma attack or something. And
yeah, that was all over.
That was all over. So he went to trade school and became a plumber apprentice. My dad is from Cleveland. So
okay.
He's not originally from Michigan. But him and my mom moved up here in 84. He did some work at the GM Pontiac East plant, working with Dave Bing and his business back then. And in 84, my parents started their own construction company called Burnley Marlin Group.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So then they built Devon Contracting in 94.
Okay, so 10 years later. So back up.
Yeah.
Stephanie, when were you born?
86.
So as we have these conversations and an abrupt laughter went in the sound room, because again, this is cool because we often walk side by side, but starting to experience where you're like, wait a minute, what year were you born? What do you mean? So 2 years, as a matter of fact, in 84, I just had learned about Mary Lou Retton, and I wanted to go to the Olympics in 1996. So I clearly knew what I was doing when my parents started the business. But okay, so you were just a thought at the time, right. Even though you do have brothers.
Right.
It was some people in the situation. It was just not you.
Right.
So 84, mm-hmm. Mom and Dad started. Now, specifically, what line of work were they doing?
So they're just general contracting.
Okay.
And I want to say, and don't quote me, but I believe their first major project with Devon Contracting was at the Chrysler headquarters.
Okay.
When they were renovating, building that expansion, because, you know, that was supposed to be a mall.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they end up making that the Chrysler headquarters.
The Chrysler headquarters was supposed to be a mall.
Yeah.
See, these are the type of little conversations and behind the scene facts that you would never know, because they were working on the expansion and they knew what the blueprints were. Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah.
So, okay. Now, for those who may not be familiar, and as we have these conversations to bring more business owners into the conversation of what I call real business and big business, generally, you know, when you enter into general contracting, do you find, or is there more often certain type of jobs or opportunities that are more prevalent than others? Or do you know what your dad, like what they were actually doing? Was it like excavation, or
they
was
were
it
mostly like precasting?
Okay.
So they did like self-performed concrete.
But
they will do like all the precast work. So that's like the parking deck. They already have the structure. They just put it together.
Okay.
So it's like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, 84, they start that, you know, get that ball rolling. Okay. You're born 86. Okay, 94.
They formed Devon Contracting. And then 98, they met with Wallbridge.
Okay.
And that's when they did a joint venture and they developed Devon Industrial Group.
Oh.
So Devon Industrial Group is 51% my parents, and 49% owned by Walbridge.
Oh, got it. So, you know, over the course of the time of coming up and, you know, just being a part and watching your parents grow, of course, you know, you were a little girl. So what are like some of your fondest memories when your dad and mom were developing the business or whatnot?
Coming to work with my mom every day.
Really?
In the summer.
Okay.
With the babysitter.
You were the babysitter.
I mean, we've been in business for 20 years this year.
Okay.
So we've seen Detroit come a long way. We've always, our office has been located downtown Detroit.
Okay.
So we come to work with my mom and we'll do the people mover and, you know, do the tour of downtown. But I remember like they had one of the DPS schools when I was younger and we were doing a playground. So we got to help build that playground.
Really?
Yeah.
So is it that you were on the playground kind of saying I like this, or like are you saying that you guys contributed in terms of like what kids would like?
No, so they already had the floor plan, they already had the layouts.
Okay.
So we were just helping with putting the equipment in place.
Okay.
Putting the playground structure together, and then we had like the wood chips and all the surroundings. So I remember that, but when I was younger I wasn't as involved.
Okay.
In the company, I kind of like, my mom had us in summer activities, swimming and soccer. So,
now what is your mom's function at the company?
She is the vice president of Devon Contracting.
Oh, is she? And you guys see her mother all the time at all the events, and I'm always like, hi. And she's just as happy, just as nice.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when the babysitter and you're there at work, was it just kind of business as usual? Like, did your mom actually, you know, and I do this to my daughters. Mm-hmm. My daughters come to work with me and they work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. My daughter has done floral arrangements for events. The baby, well, she's not a baby anymore. She's 8, but she understands when I tell her you're going to work with me, mm-hmm. that I may be in a meeting, that she can't talk, mm-hmm. you know, all of those type of things that you take for granted, but really is a part of etiquette training that you grow up with.
It's funny you say that because, like, my niece now, she's 7.
Okay.
And since she was a baby, we used to always bring her to work with us. So she knows our office. Everyone knows her. But she'll come in. She wants to make copies. She wants to send off faxes. Or she wants to help her nanny type. And, like, she likes to file paperwork. So she's like our little file assistant.
Okay. And she actually, at this point, even though she's 7, she actually knows what she's doing.
She knows what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, you expose them young and they will actually easily acclimate and mm-hmm. do probably whatever you need them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's speed forward a little bit. So when did Stephanie really, you know, did you decide? Did your dad decide? Like, let's talk about you coming into the business, because let me just give you a little backstory. Stephanie and I are actually friends, and of course, you know, social media. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at her Facebook. I don't know, something went through. And this is definitely an example of when you have friends and good friends and what they're doing keeps you in check, like in a real version. Mm-hmm. So I'll never forget. I think this was whenever you started transitioning, because Stephanie actually is the co-CEO. Let's be clear. Okay. Let's put it out there. You know, everybody talks about being a boss. No, this is actually one. Like, seriously. But I remember that day when, I don't know what your dad had you reading, but it was binders on top of binders, and you were up, and I think you had to either evaluate one of the proposals or something. It was like, this is what it's like, you know, growing up when you're being positioned to be the CEO, the future CEO. And your dad, I could see his intent, you know, his seriousness, and you had to read or he was going over whatever you evaluated. And I was like, wow. Number one, I'm pretty sure that company's over $100 million.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, you do? Do you remember? It was like late. And I was like, oh my God, Stephanie's like in her 20s.
Yeah.
And her conversation with her father at this point or whatever they're evaluating are probably contracts that are going to build the business. You know, it's already $100 million. Now you're getting to 110, 115, whatever that is. But just in that moment, I appreciated the seriousness and also the, you know, this is the next generation and you being a part of it, because so often we have friends, like I know you do,
mm-hmm.
parents have worked so hard
mm-hmm.
and made so many sacrifices, and you're like, no, I'm gonna just go ahead
and do my own thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna figure it out. I'm like,
I was like that.
Which is what?
Right. You're gonna work for somebody else?
Yeah. Right. And just like that. And culturally, as being African-American, you know, we can joke about it in one aspect, but it's a serious thing.
It is.
So where did you start the transition of knowing that, okay, maybe I'm going to come into the company and it's for real and you know, be serious? How old were you?
Oh, my gosh. 2007.
So
I am 31 now. So that was 10 years ago.
Okay.
So 21.
At 21. Okay. So 21. Whoo, big year anyway.
Yeah.
That you're making decisions and life is happening and you 21.
So when I started working with the company, I was a receptionist. My dad had me answering the phones, had to be at work on time, 8 to 5. It was a struggle.
Really?
It was. I'm not a morning person.
It was a struggle.
But actually, I didn't want to work at first. I dropped out of college, and my dad's like, you have to come work. You're not about to just sit around and do nothing. So I was like, all right. So I just, like, answering phones. I'm like, this is not, you know, it's nice, but it's not going to get me anywhere. So then I started back doing, you know, part-time school, and then my dad pushed me from being a receptionist. We're ISO certified, so I was doing all of our ISO paperwork.
And for those who are not familiar, and some of this, you know, even though this is MMSDC's, you know, social media channels or whatnot, we are definitely just wanting the conversation to spread to those who may not understand these terms, these acronyms, whatever the case may be. Please feel free to chime in. Call in 248-809-6400 or leave a social media comment, because we want you to understand and ask the questions, because if this is not part of your normal conversation, you know, it may be over your head, but these are the types of certifications and conversations when you are in business and running a $100 million industrial company that are important for you to understand, and you know, those elements of business that MMSDC is working hard to make sure, whether you choose to go in this line of work or not, mm-hmm. that you understand what is required, what needs, and the work that goes along with it. But go ahead, Steph.
Okay.
So what's ISO?
So ISO is if you're affiliated or do work with automotive industry, they require you to be ISO 9001. It's pretty much like your Bible. It will be like your procedures on what you do per project. You know, you have to follow these procedures to make sure you're qualified. They've been ISO certified probably for like 10 years now.
Okay.
So it's long. Before I even got hired in, they were already ISO certified.
Okay.
So I started to do that. And then I was finished school in 2014 at Wayne State.
Okay.
I graduated then. And that's when my dad's like, you're going to take over the business. And I'm like, what? And I was like trying to fight it. Like, no, I'm not ready. I don't want it. Like, I'm still, you know, young. I still want to party. But when I started working, so he pushed me over to Walbridge. And Walbridge was a big mentor for me, because they made me, I'm in a succession plan right now. So I did 6 months in business development, 6 months in marketing, 6 months in estimating. Then they pushed me out to the job site. So I had my work boots, my hard hat, my safety belt.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So when you say construction, everyone thinks, oh, you're out in the field. But no, there's more inside. There's accounting. There's the HR. There's the marketing. So
every business unit.
Every business, major business unit to bring up your business.
Okay.
And so now I'm in business development.
Okay.
So I'm out there trying to get work for us.
Okay.
So reoccurring work with, you know, reoccurring clients, new clients. So, and that, my dad says 5 years, this will be my fifth year. So it's time for him to retire, but he's not.
If anyone knows Mr. Burnley, he's not, because it's a lot of other things going on. Right. He is not slowing down.
And he's always like, oh, in 5 years. So, well, this is my fifth year of my succession plan, but I'm not rushing it, because having my dad there helping me understand more, like understanding just the different terminologies, like I'm used to the lameness terms, and then it's really, you have that dictionary term. And I'm like, oh.
Okay.
So, but my team is helpful. We all work together.
How many people, explain us your team. Let's talk about that. What is
so kind of, my know, point, team paint is, picture? We have our chief estimator.
Okay.
Who is the one who does all the bid work, puts in all the proposals.
Okay.
We have our operations manager. He's the one who makes sure all the projects that we currently have are new, old or new, you know, making sure that those are going as well. They're supposed to.
Okay.
Then you have, let's see, your accounting.
Okay.
Then you have, what else? Then you have the project managers. They work with you. Like, they're all helping me understand the construction world.
Okay.
So there's about 70 employees.
Total. What's the level of management or executive management? Maybe about 15, 20 or?
There's about 15.
Okay, of you guys. Okay.
Yeah. And then in the office, because all of our guys are on the field, we're mostly automotive. So in our office, there's 18 of us.
Okay.
And then everyone else is placed on a project.
Oh, okay. So projects are constantly going, you know, cycling, being managed or wherever they need to be. So definitely, I imagine you guys have to have a pretty good core to be able to have that many employees and they're not, you know, on site at the office where you just constantly having a unit. So, you know, what was it like in terms, so you know, at 21 and you, like you said, you want to party, you want to do certain things. So talk about that transition, because here is, you know, I believe the gap oftentimes that we're seeing in terms of the conversation of, you know, traditional workforce and just this full millennial conversation. And if you can look back on it now, even though that was 10 years and millennial wasn't even a word or really wasn't being perceived that way then, what do you see, like, what advice do you see? Because so many, I feel like millennials, even though, yes, I know you think I'm a millennial, I'm not, though.
So, I always thought you were, like, the same age as me.
See?
No,
see?
For real, like, I did.
See, I just try to say that oftentimes because it's not just me. But thank you, Stephanie.
You're welcome.
But, you know, when you look back on it and just your experience up to now, so many people, especially in this day age of seat, you know, I'm a boss, I'm a CEO, you know, I got my own thing going in business. And in all honesty, I did not get the full scope and depth and breadth of true business until I came into the diversity world. And I had the opportunity to work with people and mentors and companies where, I looked at them and I'm like, wow, you making a few hundred million dollars is not really a big deal. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, in their mid 30s, early 40s, such as with W3R, and they're, you know, over 50 million. And I was like, wow. But I also saw the responsibility and that went along with that. So being that young, talk to us about, you know, that responsibility level and understanding what it takes to really, if you say you want to be in business, like, for real.
Like, if you for real want to be in business and be successful, like, my dad doesn't sleep. Like,
really? Even now?
Even now. Like, he'll get up at, like, 5. Like, the other day he called me at 6 in the morning, like, what time are you going to be in the office? I'm like, it's 6 in the morning. But, I mean, it takes you to appreciate, like, these guys are working, like, overtime. And they're not really overtime, their salary. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are actually putting in the hours. They're just, like, they are for it. I don't know what the word is, but
you're right. They are for it.
They're for it. They're like go-getters. Like, they are working 8 to 5 and over 5. Mm-hmm. They go home and take their stuff home to work. Like, they're constantly working, even on the weekends. And a lot of these guys have families, but they juggle it all and they remain sane.
So how did you adjust, you know, being 21, this level of responsibility, even though your dad was scaling you up and, you know, into the business, but you still had certain requirements. So, you know,
I would say it took me probably until I was like 25 to all the way adjust.
Really? Okay. So a good 4 or 5 years.
Good 4 or 5 years. Cause you know, when I started, I was young and I'm like, I'm not about to, you don't really, you work, but you like, okay, I'm getting paid. But when you get older, it's like, okay, you know, this is what I really want to do. Like, I like what I do. As long as you love what you do, then there's no problem of you trying to make it.
Right.
But if you're doing something that you don't like to do, of course you're going to slack.
Mm-hmm.
But I love doing this. And then I also love, like, that my dad kind of gives me a little space to where I can do my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I do event planning on the side. So I can still do that. Also working in the construction industry, because we do events all the time. So I do our company events.
True.
So it's like a two birds and one stone.
Okay, that is a great point. I've actually had the experience of working with Stephanie on events. That was actually when we really got to know each other and work with each other. And it was cool because, you know, I knew of her, definitely same space. You know, you run into people, but it's when you begin to do the work with people that you get to know them. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, I've been very fortunate. I was like, oh, she's cool. Like, in my mind, I didn't know. I didn't realize how young you were. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I think that's so cool that, you know, you're already in this space, which for me, you know, being the age that I am, you have to listen to my context clues of how old I am.
I would think also because of who we're around, they help you.
Yeah, you know what? That's true.
It's about the people you're around, the people you surround yourself, they help you grow and mature.
Yeah, and you know, my trajectory went through the roof working with W3R, working with, at the time, Michigan Business MMSDC, and also with, at the time, Michigan Black Chamber of Commerce, now National Business League, which is a partner with MMSDC. All of that, all of those people, you know, in that group, everyone truly wants to be successful. Mm-hmm. And it's sincere. It's not playing games. Mm-hmm. It's not I'm trying to figure it out. And I think that's the biggest part, you know, of you being a second generation business owner, is that your dad, again, like you said, you didn't have certain options. You were pushed and you didn't have that option to waver. Mm-hmm. You know, even though you he gave you room, it still was within, you know, parameters or whatnot. Well, we are going to take a break as we've learned a little bit about Stephanie, her background. Definitely Mr. Burnley. as when he watches this, he's like, why does she keep calling me Mr. Burnley? Mr. Burnley, because I feel like if I call you anything else, I'm going to get in trouble. But with Devin Industries and the Burnley story, with Stephanie Burnley today on the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council Design Series podcast. We will be right back after this commercial and a sponsor break.
Access to committed corporations, a network of ambitious and like-minded entrepreneurs, and the opportunity to grow your business exponentially. This is the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. I'm Michelle Suri Robinson, President and CEO of the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. The MMSDC is amongst the largest of the regional affiliate councils in the network, serving more than 1,000 minority business enterprises and 300 corporate members.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. It's your host, Katrina Turnbow of the MMSDC Design Series, the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council podcast. We are so happy to have you today joining in. And we have the wonderful Stephanie Burnley with us talking today about her being the successor of Devin Industries and also what it's like growing up in the business, a millennial, and the future of, you know, what that looks like and how should millennials now take it to the next level. So we had a couple of questions offline that we definitely want to answer. We appreciate you chiming in. So let's get question number one. Okay, just had to, you know, sometimes you got to go through a little bit of extra when you are live. But how valuable was it for the rotation program at, you know, when your dad got you going, you know, how much of a difference did that really make to you?
It actually helped a lot. Because it helped me see more. Because, like I said, like, when I first started, I was just a receptionist. And working with the people that I work with, the top executives in Walbridge and in Devin Industrial Group, they helped me understand, like, you know, what it takes, coming to work on time, making sure you meet your deadlines. Like, it helped you just grow as a person, even outside of work. Like, I have to make sure I have all my stuff paid on time. So
right.
But sorry.
It's okay. Don't worry. Please watch the podcast. You guys are gonna love it and the video. Now, the other question was in reference to that business development. You guys are valued a little. Well, what are you now?
120 million.
So you're 120 million in sales this year. The future, and these are type of decisions you are making.
I'm making.
You are making these type of decisions
with my team help.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, the responsibility falls on you. So at the same time as you are able to take the responsibility, you get the glory, but you also get the pain, you know? So it's the good and the bad of all of those things, which is the big part of being a CEO and understanding really, you know, where you're at in business. So in terms of the future, maybe, you know, to get you guys to the next level, what do you see? What would you like to see Devon Industries do, or where would you like to see you all grow? When your dad finally is like, okay, I'm 97, I guess I just will just answer the phone sometimes when you all let me. Yeah, your daddy is going to work to like the end.
Exactly.
The end.
Actually, I see us, well, right now we're heavy in automotive. So I see us continue being, you know, we're tier one with some of our suppliers.
Okay.
So I continue to see that. I want to see us more with in construction and higher ed. There's so much opportunities. Like when I go to pre-bids, they're looking for that minority business.
So let's back up. Pre-bids. How do you even find out about the pre-bids, or, you know, just kind of describe this process? Because again, these are conversations that either people are not aware, don't even know where to start. So
for example, I'm going to use Wayne State because we're trying to get work with them.
Okay.
We used to do work with Wayne State a long time ago before I started.
Okay.
So now I'm trying to get back in higher education. You make connections. At this example, they have a booth at the
MMPC, don't they?
They have a booth.
They sure do. Yes, they do.
So you meet you can't get to the buyer. It's hard to get to the buyer. So you go to the diversity lead, and whoever that diversity lead is, you introduce yourself, you tell them what you do, what capabilities you can bring,
okay. You
know, how you can work for them. And then they'll say, oh, and then they'll introduce you to their buyer. So that's how you get in, and they'll say, okay, well, are you on our vendor list? So then you become pre-qualified in their system, and then you get the bid list.
Okay.
And so it's pretty just networking, communication.
Networking, communication. I would say, again, just tying back to MMPC 2018, which is May 8th through the 10th, that is the big part. Mm-hmm. Being certified, how big is that in terms of being minority certified? And I know you guys have other designations, mm-hmm. but in this space that we're in now, explain the importance to millennials or, you know, anyone between 25 and 45 that's trying to really get that next level of business, trying to, you know, get to $100,000, $500,000, or maybe $1 million in sales. Help us understand the importance of the certifications that you all have to even allow you to get to that next level.
The certification is big for us because a lot of your clients require that.
Period. No ifs, ands, buts.
If you really want to get that contract, you want to become certified.
Okay.
But as my dad says, yes, we're minority certified. Yes, we're minority owned business. But at the same time, we can operate as a corporate owned business. We wouldn't have to need that certification. But because that certification is like a highlighter, you know, highlights us, it helps us, especially when you go to pre-biz and they're like, well, this minority, you need 10% on this project for a minority owned business. So it's like, okay, we have that because we're 100% minority owned.
Right. And I think so many people, and I didn't even understand the seriousness or the severity of it. You know, we live in this world now talking about full on discrimination. I mean, it's overt. It is overt. And if it's overt in the public world, in your personal life, oh, it's going to be overt in the business world also. Mm-hmm. And having those, you know, parameters and those requirements put in place. And sometimes it wasn't even just about skin color. It just might be about who the business relationship was already established with and that diversification mm-hmm. for that. So I know that's a huge one. So let me ask you let's switch gears strictly, you know, advice to, you know, being young, growing up truly in business, over 100 million. And I keep saying that because one of the things that MMSDC and this
20 years in business.
20 years and say that.
20 years in business.
Say that. You have to be proud about your accomplishments. You know, you can say that when you were 11.
Yeah.
It was popping.
Yep.
And you knew. Well, you didn't know.
I didn't know, but then.
You didn't know, but your dad knew. Like, right. Well, she can think what she wants.
Right.
But she is coming down this party train. A couple of great points that you want to, you know, no matter what it is, we talked a little bit offline. What would you want millennial business owners or small business owners between the ages of 25 and 45 who are trying to figure it out? What do you want them to know?
Ooh. As far as like a business standpoint?
Well, let's talk about business. Yeah, just specifically getting to that next level, because what I found and being, you know, interfacing and having an opportunity to work with MMSDC and all these other organizations, I feel like there's just a certain level of, I don't know if it's just not seriousness or maybe it's just the balance of life, because I struggled with that at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But I have watched so many people operate on excellence to the point that I actually, you know, people are like, oh, you compare yourself to people on social media. No, actually, I don't. Mm-hmm. The people I compare myself would be someone like you, you know, W3R Consulting, your dad. You know, I can look at people. I actually have a photo. And did you see this photo? And it was, it said it was a photo of Jay-Z. I brought it up a couple weeks ago. Jay-Z and some other artists, and someone made a comment and said, you know, entertainment millionaires, but not one person owns an automotive dealership, a manufacturing company. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to find the photo because I've seen it. I saw it and I brought it up a couple times. But the significance was, for me, every industry that they noted, I actually knew someone. And there's a picture that I took with your dad, Leon Richardson, and I think two other people, and collectively it was $1 billion in sales in that photo. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying that, like, oh my God, collectively they're worth $1 billion. Mm-hmm. Everybody can't say that. And I know that's one of the powers of Michigan, because we really do have some great anchors. This is definitely a hub of minority businesses. Yes. For the nation. So as we come up behind, you know, superstars like your dad, though, from a business aspect, how do you, yeah, so let's frame the question a little bit. How do you position yourself and recommend, you know, us coming up underneath them to be at that level? How do we get there?
We just have to work with each other. We have to be open to listening to our mentors, our elders, of how they got to where they are, I think. We just have to, like, we get so stuck in our own way. So I think that if we kind of open that door a little bit and let some higher power, upper people, billionaires, give us the advice, and, you know, you take it in and you don't let it go out the other ear, you know, you you listen to them. Because I feel like, I mean, I would never saw myself where I am today.
Really?
I wouldn't have.
No. Okay.
But with the push of my dad and the push of Walbridge helping me and everyone, like, pushing me in the major departments, it's like, oh, like, you can do this. But I just think that people need to be open more. Mm-hmm. I think people need to listen, and you have to put in the time.
Put in the time.
You got to put in the time.
Do you believe that this whole conversation of millennials are lazy and all of these other things, where do you, is there a truth to that? Like, what's kind of your perception of being in this space now?
Millennials aren't lazy. They just are, they get in their comfort zone.
And oh, okay.
I think that once you get in your comfort zone, you don't want to branch out to bigger opportunities that might still be in your area, but you can still grow out of that. Like, I don't really know the term that I'm looking for, but for a millennial, it's like, we're big on social media, we're big with Facebook, we're big with, you know, people are trying to be the social media models. So it's like, right. I mean, as a business, I mean, in the corporate world, you know, they look at that, but is that a good look?
Right.
So if you're a millennial, you're trying to be a social media model, is that a good look? I don't know.
I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, nobody cares. And if anything, you better, when they're looking at you, you better hope that they're not finding certain things. Because if you think that somebody's not checking your social media and having an opinion about how you're going to function within this company and the company culture, think again.
Yeah.
That's real.
But I would say, like, for me in the business, like, I'm the people that my dad surrounds me around, all the people he knows. Like, I've developed my own personal relationship, just like you. I've developed my own, like, you're a big sister to me. I look up to you.
Oh.
So it's like, the stuff that I see you do, I'm like, wow, like, I want to get in. Or how can I get my business working with your business? Like, and I think that's the thing, we need to open the door more.
Collaboration.
More.
A lot more collaboration.
Especially in the minorities.
Yes, it's yes. Hard. Okay, now you were fortunate, you know, grow up underneath your father, great businessman and businesswoman, your mom, you mm-hmm. know, still active in the business. For those of us or those who are gonna like, oh my God, but I didn't have a dad who, you know, that type of thing. I know you get that probably like, oh my God. Well, I would expect that of her because of no, because we both know some that should not. We're not gonna talk about it, but we're like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that, no, we weren't expecting that.
Right.
But okay, we're gonna work through it.
Right.
But for those who are not necessarily underneath a succession plan, you know, father, family, whatever the case, what would be some of those recommendations, again, as a millennial, to position yourself to get to that pre-bid or whatever the case may be, to be a solid contender in business?
You have to, one, put the money. You got to put in the money. Like, even though the problem is, I think, with the millennials, they want to get paid for everything instead of
that's a good
volunteering
point.
Their time.
You're right, because I volunteer my life away.
Girl,
and I
yes,
still
you
do.
You
said, girl, yes you do. If anybody knows, they may see me doing a lot, and we're not going to talk about sometimes I get paid, sometimes I don't. But it did not matter.
It doesn't matter.
I knew why I was doing it, and it was just as valuable, and it is taking care of me. Things that I did 20 years ago,
it pays
volunteering
off.
Is taking care of me to this day.
Yep, it pays off. So you have to volunteer your time. You know, you might not want to go to certain things because you're like, well, what am I getting out of it? You're making connections. You're making relationship. You're developing a relationship. It's all about relationships. Mm-hmm. As long as you have that relationship with those people that you want to work with in the future, it's golden. But you have to, you got about, like, I have volunteered a lot of my time. And I think because my dad, I remember the first year I got hired in, he's like, okay, you have to do the Michigan Minority Trade Show. I'm like, what? I don't know how to do this. Like, I don't know what to say. But he pushed me out there, and then people just start seeing you. You develop. You start reading, doing your research on the companies that you're going to meet with. Like, all
please
that
do
stuff
your
up.
Research, people.
Please do your research.
Please know who you're going to talk to.
You have to know who you talk to before you go talk to them.
That doesn't always happen. Believe me, some of the stories that I hear, the suppliers are walking up to corporations like, so what you gonna do for me?
Right.
I'm like, oh, that shouldn't probably be going that way.
Right. But it's like, so how can you help me? But yeah, you have to do your research. You need to, I mean, for the millennials, like, you just got to get out there. You have to get out there, and you have to, you want to start by, I want to say, volunteering your time. Like, you're not going to get paid for everything that you do.
I think that probably, that's going to be one of your quotables. We're going to take this picture. You're not going to get paid for everything that you do. Be clear.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? We got to actually get ready to wrap it up. But leave us with a couple of things, Steph. What would you, let's see. What we want to know now. Let's ask a couple of things. Actually, what is your favorite thing to do outside of work?
My favorite thing to do outside of work, event planning and shopping.
And I'm pretty sure she's really good at it. And sounds good to me. Also, what is your least favorite thing to do in the business?
I used to get terrified of cold calling.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I can kind of see that.
Yeah. I like to be behind the scenes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you still like that?
Yes.
Like, but even going out on business development, because you are, but, you know, that's relationship oriented. So
yeah.
That's still kind of like a warm call. You kind of at least know. So
yeah.
Cold calling, huh?
Yeah, cold calling.
Terrible, terrible.
Terrible.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. Let's talk about this initiative that MMSDC is actually putting together that Stephanie is going to be featured because that's what I was talking to her about. I was like, so don't you want to be the star? But we're just bringing her on today. MMSDC is committed to bringing, you know, millennials or 20, let's just say 25 to 45, you know, that business demographic who are not certified, who want to understand how business truly is done and how it needs to grow, and understanding the power of certification and grants and bids and all of these things that truly get you in the door and get you to the next level and, you know, building these relationships. Well, there is actually going to be events beginning in March, also in April, and then leading up to MMPC 2018, May 8th through the 10th, where you'll be able to participate in this in these conversations, all focused on millennials and just kind of keeping the ball rolling. So register now, of course, for MMPC. You do not have to be a member of MMSDC to participate. The trade show, it is open to everyone. Open to everyone. There is no excuse as to why you cannot participate and come out and see these businesses. Buy a ticket. Come have the conversations. Even if you're not ready, come get the literature to help you become prepared. Mm-hmm. Help you help yourself understand. Investing yourself is truly an investment. Invest. But the Millennial Circle of MMSDC is coming to you soon. Please go online. You can inquire at minoritysupplier.org. In addition to that, you can inbox Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council on Facebook, on LinkedIn. So feel free to send out messages and all that type of good stuff. And we will be following up with dates soon following where you'll be receiving an invitation. It is invite only. So we are targeting some people that we know. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie and all of us are coming together to recommend businesses that we know should be in this conversation. So if you want to be a part of the conversation, feel free again to reach out on social media, go online at minoritysupplier.org. My name is Katrina Turnbow. I'm your host. You can find me on all my social media channels on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and all of those great things. So thank you so much for joining the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council Design Series, a conversation behind the scenes, talking to the businesses and understanding their stories, their conversations, and learning a little bit more about what goes on behind business with the people that run them. Have a great evening.